I'd rather brother do that. But I'm not going to allow sister to do that. Not one of you all. Period. And that is the truth. You're not dealing with some charlatan, foolish preacher. I would allow you to do that. See, if many of you all, you would have corrected me, well, just don't preach on that name. You all were Messiah. I like Jesus. I don't care what you like. I know what the Spirit of Yahweh speaketh expressively at this hour. And you rebel and you fought against that. Hallelujah. And now you know it's the truth. What a great revelation that is. He says, because you're so full of iniquity. Now, I want you to understand why you don't know truly how to love. Because you're full of iniquity and hypocrisy. You're false with each other. You're not sincere. I want to do right. I want to be honest. You know, what advantage would it be for me to go to Brother Nee Smith and Deacon Benny and speak against Brother Dale? Or what advantage is it to me to go to Brother Dale and Elder Martin speak against Brother James? Or what advantage is it to me to go to Brother James and Brother Jermaine and speak against Brother Dave? What advantage is that of me? What am I going to gain from that? That's why we need to be seasoned. We need to be quiet. Study to be quiet. What good is that? I will deal with every man's sin. I will deal with it openly and before everyone, whatever the brother or the sister's sin is. I will deal with it. No, this place is not here because of one of you in particular. It's here because Yahweh opened the doors. Even in all of my ignorance, He opened the door. In all of my stupidity, He still opened the door. In all of my unlearned ways, He still opened the door. The Father did that. It was not of any one particular strength. Not at all. Period. It was the Father. It was the Father. Not me. It was Him. And so if He opened that, then He knows how to shut it. And not one of us is going to shut that. Not one of you. Not one of you. None of you will be able to shut that. Because He opened the door. And He opened the spiritual blessings as well. Because He's brought me a mighty long way in these 8+ years. I know that. He has. He has. And basically everything that has been done here, all the ones that gave, they're all gone. There are only three that, Brother Lee Smith, Brother Dale, and Brother Lee Smith, Brother Dale, and Elder Martin. The only three that have worked from the beginning. And all the rest of them are gone. You know, that's why I really don't, I have no bitterness in my heart against them. I don't. Because I know that Yahweh used them for the purpose. I really do know that. I'm not a foolish man. I'm not that. He used the jackass to warn the prophet. And so even if they speak against me, I still take that as a warning. I just don't reject it. I really don't. And that's the truth. I really don't reject it. I don't. It caused me to watch my heart. It caused me to lay awake and search scriptures and to make sure I find what things that are literally in me. I want to make sure. I want to walk right before the Father. I don't want to be a false man. I want to be sincere in all of my efforts. Everything I do, I want Him to be acknowledged and Him to be exalted above me, because I'm nothing. I'm nothing without Him. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you understand what something cold is? I will show an example. Have you, as a husband or wife, been cold towards your spouse? Or have you been cold toward a brother or sister? Don't you know that they realize that there's a coldness there? It doesn't radiate any fervent drawing. When there is no love there, it doesn't draw. See, love draws. That's what draws us unto Him, because He loves us. And we sense the fervent drawing of His love. And when love is cold, it doesn't draw. And the reason love is cold, because of iniquity and hypocrisy. You're full of hypocrisy. You will speak well to a brother or sister, and then you will go behind them and speak falsely. Now that's hypocrisy. That is not the love of Yahweh. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you tell me you love me, or this one or that one. That's not love. Love draws. Love is, it expresses a warmth. That's what it does. And you sense that with your senses or your sensual expression. You can sense it. And because of iniquity and hypocrisy, we go our own way doing our own thing. We're full of sin and transgression. That when we perceive in love, it grows very cold. It doesn't radiate a tremendous power or anointing. It's very cold because of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's why. And we're talking about these latter times. We're talking about these times. There should be many false prophets, many deceivers who deceive one another. And because there will be no love for the truth. And the reason there's no love for the truth because of iniquity and hypocrisy in the hearts of the people today, they really don't love truth. What truth? Well, when Yahweh pull the blanket or the sheet down from your eyes to show you that you can look through that perfect mirror of that law of liberty, and that's what he does. I want him to correct me with judgment. He's not going to correct you any other way but with judgment. He's not going to do it no other way but with judgment. Correct me. It's your judgment, Father. Why? Because I want to do things that are right. I want to live right. I want to walk before him in a righteous way. And to do things that are pure before him. I want to read that account. New Yorker, John chapter 8, verse 7. This is missing out of the hearts of the people today. Yohanan chapter 8, verse 7. John 8, 7. I gave you some details of that little encounter. It says in verse 7, so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin, now you that are without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. I recall an incident when we were there in Charlotte. I don't recall who it was. I think it was Tamra. And she had fallen, her sins, just like your sins. And so I said, Yahweh, you will have to show me, Father, you will have to show me even how to deal with this circumstance. So at that time, I had a large stone. I always kept it there. And so I know how our judgment is. We love to judge one another very severely, but we don't judge ourselves that way. So I stood her before everyone there. I said, come here. Stand here. I said, I want to say to all you folks, you hypocrites. Now you that are without sin, here's a stone. It was a ball, about that big, heavy. I said, now you cast the first stone. I said, I can't do it. I'll take my hands off of it. Now any of you all that want to cast the stone, you cast the stone. And make sure you hit her here too. Hit her there at her temple. Say, make sure you strike her there to do her much damage. So you that are without sin, then you throw the first stone at your brother or sister. Then that ought to show you that the stone ought to hit you right between your eyes. You that are without sin, cast the first stone. And again, he stooped down, he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, look now, being convicted by their own now conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Yahshua left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. It's one thing that a pure conscience will do. By the spoken word of Yahweh, that's what he said. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. The conscience, they were convinced. They were wicked. And they couldn't cast the stone. He said, you that are not sinful and wicked as she is, kill her. And they couldn't do it. Because they were worse than what she was. And so even their own conscience said, well, you know, you didn't do that right the other day, Dave. And of course you stole that. And of course you lied about that. No, you wholeheartedly lied. And so their own conscience convict them. Even a man that with a pure conscience or a conscience, it will convict him. Show him his wrong. And he keeps him in an ever repentance before Yahweh, that he doesn't have to repent other things again. But not this wicked generation. It's a wicked generation, their own sins, their own lust, the folly. It is the truth, brother. Bless you. And so, their own conscience convict them, and they went out. They went away from him. And Messiah lifted himself up, and he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are thy accusers? Have no man here to condemn you. Look at what he called them now. Accusers. He said, where are your accusers? That's the spirit of hell. He goes constantly accusing the brothers. That's what Satan does. He does it all the time. He accused them. He constantly accused them before the Father. He said, where are your accusers? Where are they? I have none. They're none. My sins are just like their sins. My sins are as the elder's sin. For the man breaks the laws of Yahweh, he's in sin. Okay, what law he breaks the principle? He's in sin. I don't care if it's David Roberts. I don't care if it's this old man right here. It makes no difference at all. When a man defies the laws of Yahweh, he has transgressed. He has sinned against Yahweh. And once that man does that, then there is a reaping of that sin. I don't care who he is. I don't care if his ethnicity, his race, his personality. This is that shame, because even in a place like this, this should be a place of purity, heart. There should not be any segregation, the spirit of the world. It shouldn't be a black thing or a white thing. It should be Yahweh's thing. We ought to get beyond that, our mind so pure and our conscience so clean, that we get beyond that petty, childish mentality that is Yahweh's thing. And it's a righteous thing. And if you are righteous, you will suffer even wrong, because scripture tells you that. For even your conscience sake, you will suffer for the conscience sake of Yahweh to suffer wrong. We don't want to do that. It's not a black-white thing. It's a sin thing. It's just a corrupt, wicked thing. That's what it is. There are white folks that despise white. Blacks that despise white. Blacks. That's the truth. We look at things out of our shallow minds. There's only one pure way. And only one right way. It's not your way. It's not a white man's way. And it's not a black man's way. It's Yahweh's way. I don't care if that's one of you can raise. You can raise hell with me. It makes no difference. I won't take one word back. You're wicked. Man can't look at a brother or sister, or sister can't look at a sister or brother and see a brother or sister. Something is tortured in their mentality. Should be able to see a white man or a black man. Should just see a brother. Should be able to see a Jew or a Mexican, just a brother. And the reason we don't deal with that, because we allow that trash to lay dormant in us. We don't want men to talk like that, because we want to lay dormant. We don't want nobody to deal with it, and we'd rather lay dormant. That's what we like. But not this preacher. Not any of y'all's money can buy me, because you ain't got nothing. You could give me $10,000. I'm not a coward of a man. And I won't back down from you. Now, you may back me down physically. You probably can do that. I have no compunction with that. But now when it comes to the spiritual laws of Yahweh. Now, because I'm going to start at the right place first. You know something, that when I deal with brothers and sisters, I always start at home. I don't deal with the service, and I start at home. What's in your heart? Let's deal with that first. Let's get that right in you first. And then you will find out how minor the circumstances are. If you get what's right in your heart, you will find out that these little things, you tell me, I take these little things and cause me to become unwind, and become me to become contorted and twisted. I take that. And these are the things that confound me, that are carnal and natural, have no relevance to my spiritual growth. You will find out how shallow and how small you are. I let this cause my soul to be brought into perplexity and damnation. Your forehead can turn ashy as they come, you black ones. You white ones can become red, beady as they come. It makes no difference. I will honor the truth. Hallelujah. And that's what I will honor. I'm not afraid of any man when it comes to that. That's the truth. Not a compromise. Joel says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now this scenario here, I want to explain this. I want to read it first. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 10. He says, I want to tell you something, brothers. He says, if any man see that which, for if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol temple of the idols, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? He said, now what he is actually saying, that I will give you another paraphrase scenario. He said, if you're with a weak brother, if the weak brother see you doing things that are not proper according to the laws of Yahweh, don't you think that that brother or that sister will be emboldened? They will do the very same thing. If they see you act foolish, don't you know that they're going to act foolish? If I was a foolish leader here, don't you know this house would be full of foolishness? I've never been that kind of a man. Even as a young man, I wasn't that way. So if a brother or sister see you that are supposed to be strong, doing things that are not according to the laws of Yahweh, if they are weaker, you are the elder, you are the stronger one, don't you know that they're going to be bolder? They're going to do that what you've done? So if a weak brother see you fraternizing with idols and worshiping strange gods, don't you know that they're going to think that's proper to do? If I did that, don't you know you all think that were proper to do? You would think it would be right to do? Don't you know his conscience is going to be troubled by that? Because you know he's going to do the very same thing? He said, and through thy knowledge, through your knowledge, through thy knowledge, shall the weak brother perish. For whom Messiah died for? You tell me a weak brother would perish? If I do things here that cause a weak man, I know the ones that are weak and the ones that are strong. I know the weak ones. Start here first, all right. Here's the weak one. For I say I'm strong only in Messiah. See, we think everything is an insult because we are so immature spiritually. We think everything is an insult. Well, that's you insulting me? Yeah, I am. That's why we sing that song. Well, if the weak say I'm strong, if the poor say I'm rich, well, I'm strong. Why? Because that identifies what I am. But he said, you see a weak brother when they see that, and they see you do that, don't you know that that will cause them to perish in the faith, to cause them to lose heart? But you know, you elderly sisters, the way you do things and the way you act, you don't do it right. Don't you know it will cause others to perish, the young ones? Don't you know your mothers, when you say things in your home, that you talk like fools? Don't you know it causes the young ones, the weak ones, and then to be hampered? Don't you know when you say things that are your foolish, wicked hearts and your stupidity, you cause others to be hampered because of your wickedness? And first thing you do, you go look for someone as weak as you, because you know they are weak. And so you look for someone as weak as you, because you will not go to someone as strong. And you go to someone as weak as you, and you cause that one to be emboldened as you. And they began to do the same things you were doing, because they know one that has any kind of truth that will rebuke them. Should the brother see you in that temple of those idols, see you worshiping with the wicked, see you fraternizing, acting like a fool with the wicked, then those that are weak are going to do the very same thing. They're going to follow pursuit. They're going to do the very same thing you do. You know, I tell the brothers, we play basketball. No, you young ones don't talk or say anything. If anybody talk, I will do the talking. I said, sister, that's the truth. I don't cheat them. I'd rather them have the ball to take advantage than for me to take advantage, because it's very easy for me to do that. My ball, I don't play like that. I don't play ball like that. I don't do things like that. All right, your ball. We get the next one. That's why I do it. That's why I do it. And as far as playing physical and tough, not any of them can play as any tough as I can. I don't want to play that way with him. I don't want to play basketball that way with him. I just want to play basketball. That's all. I just want to sweat. Get some of this fat off of me. That's the only reason. It's so hard to beat somewhat. That's why I do it. For no other reason. It's a foolish game. It's just foolish. I'm not an Olympian, and I don't want to be one. So I don't want to go out there and spend hours and hours perfecting some ball, sacrificing my body to the gods of the Olympiad and not sacrificing my heart to Almighty Yahweh. I don't want to do that. I don't want to become a perfectionist. I don't want what they call the perfect body. I want to be in His body. The perfect body. Messiah. That's what I want. He says here in verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brother, now that's what you do. He said, now, when you sin so against the brother, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Almighty Yahweh, you sin against Messiah. You want a brother's weak conscience. If I want a weak brother, that's why the scripture tells us, Father, don't provoke your children to anger. Your daddy will not provoke his children to anger. You, I think about little Ray. I think about all these little fellows that they've lost their fathers. I really do. I don't know. It's something about little old Ray. His spirit is a lot more dorsal now. For some reason, I like the little fella. I don't know why. I like him. I like talking with him. I like spending a little time with him. He does what I say. He doesn't speak back with his spirit or nothing like that. He does. And I think he enjoying that. And the reason is because I think about his father. Now, if I do something to a weak little brother like that to hamper his conscience or his ability to grow, then I've sinned against Yahweh. So if you do something against a brother, I don't care who you are, who you think you are, what you think you have. If you do anything to damage a brother's conscience, then you're sinning against the Father. You reject the body of Messiah. Oh, I know what he's talking about. Temples, the idol. We all got our idols, don't we? I do what I like. I-D-O-L. I do what I like. Idols. And so when you do that, sisters, you wound the conscience of those that are weak. And then you sin. And Yahweh doesn't want us to wound the conscience, because the conscience to be seared. What about the word of Yahweh cannot penetrate their hearts and convince them of their sins? Well, Pastor Robert, your heart. I tell you what, Yahweh is an austere man. This is not hard what you're going through now. There's one thing about the military. When you first go in the military, they know you're out of shape. When I went in there during the 70s, the first thing they did, I was 155 pounds. That's a long way from that. 250 pounds. That's 100 pounds I've gained in 30-some years. 30 years. And so when I went in the military, I was 155 pounds. I was small. And the first thing they did, they fed us for 3 days. Steak, potatoes. I never had eaten like that. I've never had a steak that big and that thick. I had never. So they began to feed us steak and potatoes and waffles. My. We'd get up in the morning and go to breakfast for waffles. I mean waffles that thick, and they were right. All kinds of pancake syrup. Omelets. I mean omelets that long and that thick. And what they did, they fed you like that for 3 days. They let you lay around. They didn't bother you. They wanted you to put on the weight. Because they were going to work that thing down physically, so you become physically shaped. So that was 155 pounds. They fed us omelets, steaks, fresh vegetables. I had never fresh fruit, everything. 3 times a day. You got up about 6:30, went to breakfast from 7 till about 8. You came back and you laid around, talked. At 12, they had lunch. And my lunch, 2 hamburgers, French fries. I had never had 2 hamburgers like that at my mother's house. Never. 2 hamburgers. Ah, fries. Chocolate milk. I had never drank milk. Cake pies. We just ate. And then the third day, they said, all right, you bunch of maggots. That's what they call us. You low down, dirty pieces of trash, you dogs, lazy pigs, get up! Of course, you didn't know what to do. You were afraid then. You laid around all these days eating and fat. And they say, now you're going to pay for the meals now. You began to pay from that moment on. You began to pay. And I don't forget, we went to Opportune. They did not call us by name. They call us by our social security number. I remember the drill cried out. I was so afraid now. I'm standing there at attention. He cried out, 242-988-812. He's going to say, here, drill sergeant.
Because I didn't hear. Because I was afraid. He said 2-4-2-9-8-8-8-1-2. I heard him, but I didn't hear him. 2-4-2-9-8-8-8-1-2. He hindered us all to hear. He said, you maggot, don't get out. Because he made me get out. I couldn't do no push-ups. And of course, I started doing push-ups. I didn't know. Did about 10, 15, 20. I got about 20, I believe. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. You see a piece of trash, you want to get up? I said, yes, sir. He said, you don't answer me like that, boy. You answer me, yes, drill sergeant. I said, yes, drill sergeant. He said, not loud enough. Yes, drill sergeant. He said, no, I can't hear you. Yes, drill sergeant. He said, don't answer me. Yes, drill sergeant. Then I got up. He said, boy, get out. He said, before you get up, you say to me, drill sergeant, may I get up? Please, drill sergeant. Of course, it wasn't hard for me to repeat that to him. Yeah, because my conscience was so out of whack, I couldn't even hear what he said. I heard what he said, but it didn't register. And that's the way we are. We hear, but it doesn't register. You always have given them ears to hear, and they hear not, eyes to see, and they cannot see. You can't see yourself, your sins. Bless your sister Horn. She was walking me last other Wednesday after service. She said, you know, Pastor Roberts, I'm just enjoying the word. I am too, sister. I enjoy what he speaks to me. He lets me know I'm a son. That means more than me to anything. And all the riches of the land, that means more. But when you do that, you sin against the brother. But you sin against the brother. And wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Messiah. So if we wound a brother's weak conscience, their weak conscience, their pure conscience, their sheer conscience, their different degrees of the consciousness. He said, if you wound the brother's weak conscience, you sin against Yahweh. Now, we don't want to wound one another's weak conscience. I won't put on one brother. I wouldn't put on young Ray there what I put on Deacon Betty. I wouldn't do that. I would expect there are certain things that I expect out of him. I expect more out of Deacon Benny. I do. And for me to put anything heavy on him, I would wound him. Ray, you think you can lift 250 pounds? Okay then, I know Deacon Benny can. Okay, that settles that. So he couldn't do that. Hallelujah. Now that's the truth. So when a man does that, he actually wounds the conscience of his weaker brother or his weaker sister. And that's not what Yahweh wants. He doesn't want us to wound the conscience of one another. He doesn't. So we do things that are appropriate before him, and that others may see the mighty strength of Yahweh in us, and then they'll walk accordingly. We're an example one unto another. I must be an example. You must be an example. The husband must be an example at the home. The wife must be an example of what submission is. That man see the very power of Yahweh's assembly and his gathering of his saints. That they should submit to him that way, loving and submitting unto to him that way. And when he sees that, then it causes his heart to be that much more in tune with the Father. Not with a rebellious woman that talks back and speaks her own corrupt, wicked man, says what she wants to. That's a wicked woman. The spirit of Jezebel. I'm telling you, sisters, all of you. That's vile, that's evil, it's wicked, it's unclean. It's a corrupt thing. You need to get born again. You need to be converted. And you certainly need the spirit of Yahweh. You know, if any of you sisters call yourself go straight me, then I know you will call yourself straight your husband and anyone else. But not one of you go straight me. Not at all of you together. All of you. I won't let you do it. You can't win. No. I won't let you do it. Not one of you. I'm not going to let her do that. And a pure conscious sister would not even want to do that. She wouldn't. Well, you said that wrong. Tell me how many things, you hypocrite, you said wrong. Tell me. Tell me how many times you've gone to one and lied to another sister, someone else. And let me tell all you sisters of hypocrisy. I don't need to send any brother, unless it's your husband, to tell you something. I don't need to send any brother to tell you nothing. Nothing. If I send anyone to tell you something, it'll be Sister Robert. I don't need any man to come to you and tell you nothing. I will tell you. And I don't send any messages by any other brother to any man's wife. I don't do that. I don't do that, brother.
Hallelujah. You hear straight from the mouth of Pastor Roberts. That's what you hear from. From my mouth. And no one else's mouth. You will hear it from me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read this. I think it's good for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We show all a great expression unto the brethren. He said, I want you to understand, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. 2 Corinthians 4:1. He said, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, the love of Yahweh, he said, we faint not. I don't faint because I receive mercies. Why? Because his mercies are renewed every day. He said, now, this is one thing we have done. Listen to what he said. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not a man of Yahweh if I don't renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. If I don't renounce or open up or make known those things of dishonesty to our hearts and what things we do in a dishonest way. He said, I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. He said, I've not walked in craftiness, in deceit and folly. Sneaky, as Granny would say. He said, I've not walked in craftiness. He said, nor having the word of Yahweh deceitfully. I haven't used the word of Yahweh to justify me. I used the word of Yahweh to show what I am. And without him, I'm nothing. I'm built up in the most holy faith, and we must be built up in the faith. It's come by hearing the word of Yahweh. If anything, I use the word for us to justify him. And what he has done with a piece of clay in me. He said, we don't handle the word of Yahweh by handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully. Look at this now. But by manifestation, or as an example of the truth, when a man manifests truth, he said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. That's what the power of that anointing is. It calls every man's conscience and says, boy, that brother, I like him. Or that brother, that's all right. You commend yourself by the works of Yahweh unto every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. While you've done things righteous and not in dishonesty, you haven't handled anything deceitfully. You haven't done anything deceitfully and wrong. You think this is not for us? You're fool. You think you're above this? You are double fool then. You think this is not said to correct you? Then you are ignorant fool. He's talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, Yahweh's talking to you. That's why he's telling you. That's why you're saying that. I don't take that back. We should commit ourselves in the conscious, every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. He says, but if this message that we preach be hid, it is a hid from them that are lost. So if this what Yahweh's saying is hidden from you, you hide yourself from it. You say, that's not for me because you're already lost. It's hidden from those that are lost. They are lost. He said, about in whom, yeah, the God of this world have blinded the minds of them, which believe not. He said, least the light of the mighty power of the message of Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine unto them. He said, Yahweh, this God of this earth has blinded their minds and their conscience, whereby they can't believe. They can't discern. They can't see. And this is a generation that cannot see. Can't see its own sins and its own corruption. It's a self-righteous generation. They think more of themselves than what the word of Yahweh says. They don't think the word of Yahweh is to correct them. They show them their faults and their sins. I don't care who you are. This word is meant for you. Yahweh will not send his word out. And it will return to him void. Whatever it is, it's going to go out and accomplish that which is purpose to do. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is, just destroy it, to move you, whatever, it's going to do that. And I'm satisfied with whatever he does. I don't care who it is. This is Sister Roberts down to everyone. And I say that because that's my wife. I will change one thing for her. Not one thing. I will preach something that is acceptable unto her and satisfy her flesh. See, our exaltation is that when we hear the word of Yahweh, we begin to apply the principles and do what he says. We begin to rejoice in that. And we began to sense the exaltation that Yahweh is bringing us up into a higher place, brother. That's how that happens. It's when we reject what he says. and we renounce what he says, then we can never get to that spiritual place that we need to be. We'll never get there. We'll never walk in that spiritual light. We'll never be able to see the spiritual truth. And in this hour, we need to see that, brothers and sisters. Above all things, we need to see that. That's why you must be filled with the Spirit. You need the Spirit of Yahweh. What Yahweh tells us to do, he doesn't mean he's going to grab you and poke you to do it. He tells us to do it. He wants us to do it. When he tells you to lift up hands, he means that. When he tells you to cry aloud and spare not, he means that. He doesn't mean you've got to wait for something to move you to do that. You do it because he commands you to do it. He tells us, let every man everywhere lift up holy hands. He means what he says. He means you lift up hands that are clean and right, pure. Look at what Peter says, 1 Peter, 1 Kephal, chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter, 1 Kephal. I like this. Look what he says now. It says this. He says, servants. Well, read the way it is in the authorized version. But this is what he says. 1 Kephal, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 18. He says, servants. Look what he says. Servant, be subject to your own master, your ruler. You be subject to those that rule. He says, with what? With what? Now that's what it says. The man said, no, I don't fear. No, I've never said, I don't believe that. I believe the fear is a reverence, it's an honor. It has more than one implication. But he says, servant, be subject to your master, your ruler, with all fear now. Look at this now. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Also to those that are crazy and nutty. That's what it said. You do what they say. You submit. You be subject. You see, even to those that don't even treat you right, you still subject yourself. To those that are only good and gentle, but those that are froward. Don't know how to handle their spirits. He said, you still do what's right. You obey. It's a generation that doesn't. You didn't treat me right. What a wicked generation. And they don't even know how to treat each other. You didn't speak to me nice. What is that to say to you? That you're rebellious and your sins are going to find you out. Why would you not want to know that? You know, if I'm driving down the highway, someone's trying to approach me, let me know that my tire's going flat. They have folks that you do that, they throw up their nose. They get angry. Tell me. If my tire's deflating, I want to know. I can stop. And then when you get down the road and the things start whoop, you realize that they were trying to tell me something. Because of my own self-righteousness and my own pride, I couldn't hear what they had to say. I didn't listen to what they had to say. That's the way we are. His pride, his self-righteousness. He says, servant, be subject to your own master with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. Those that you don't think treat you right. Whether brother didn't treat me right. Whether sister didn't do right with me. That they weren't gentle. They wasn't kind. That's where this corrupt flesh responds. The Spirit, but he always tells us what to do. He said, the reason I want you to do this, he said, for this is thankworthy. You thank Yahweh. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience sake, for conscience toward Yahweh, he endure grief. Suffer wrongfully. Now you think this generation want to suffer wrongfully? You think you want to suffer wrongfully? He said, even for conscience sake, for you to even endure grief, suffering without murmuring and complaining, it's good conscience sake toward Yahweh. Why? Because I know if I suffer with him, I'm going to reign. I know that he will ordain all things. I know that the steps of a good man are ordered by him. Now we resist truth like that. Well, that is not what it means. You're an ignorant thing, that's what it means. It's simple to read that. A fool can read that and understand. He said, for conscience sake, even if you suffer grief or wrong, well, I'll get them back. I won't forget what you've done. That's how folks think. I won't forget. Oh, I'll forget, but I'll forgive you, but I haven't forgotten it. No. You haven't done either one. So for conscience sake, if we suffer wrongfully, or we suffer grief, our conscience toward Yahweh is pure. For we say, Yahweh, there's nothing they can do to hurt me. There's nothing they can do to bring me down. There's nothing no man can do. Care who he is. Nothing. Any man. As long as I walk in this truth, I began to walk away from that, then I will be brought down by any man. Sure. But there's nothing. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear. That's what it says. Is that what it says? Be subject to your ruler with all fear. I have fear. You be subject. We don't do that. Who died made you in charge? Well, I ask you the question. Who made you in charge? Messiah died and gave us rule by his spirit. To be led. And this is such a corrupt, wicked generation. They don't esteem others more highly than themselves. They don't even honor one another. So when they see the gift of Yahweh in a man, then they reject that. They resent that. Yahweh's gift will make room for itself. His own gift will make room for itself. You don't need to have to make room for that. You got a gift, he will make room for it. If he intends to use that gift, he will make room for his gift. He doesn't need you to use it. He'll use it. And it will honor him in everything. So if a man for conscience sake toward Yahweh, endure the grief, brothers and sisters. Just endure it. A sadness of heart. These folks today, most folks, they can't endure any kind of grief. Any kind of affliction. They think about them, me. They can't endure it. They're ready to run and to flee to their little cocoons. It's wrong. It's wicked. That's what it is. Why? Suffer wrongfully. Someone do you wrong, suffer it. Suffer the wrong. Endure the wrong. Just suffer it. He'll make it right. Yahweh will make the right wrong. Wrong right. As the old folks will say. He can make the wrong right. And I believe that, brothers and sisters. I believe that. Paul was writing unto Titus. Titus chapter 1 verse 12. Titus 1 12. Titus chapter 1 verse 12. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, one of them themselves. He said, one of themselves. That this is one of them. Even a prophet of their own said, the Cretans are always liars. They're evil and they're slow bellies. Now, if I said that someone was a liar and they're slow bellies, folks would get upset. Pastor Robert said, I'm lazy. Yeah, I tell the young men all the time they're lazy. Sure I will. See, boy, sorry. When I was your age, Sister Robertson, I was 30 years old. A fun day for us was to go out and run 7, 10, 12 miles. That was a Friday night good time for us. Sure was. Working all day. First thing I did when I got off of work, first thing, even during the summer, I thought it was a sign of fitness. I would go to the track field in 90-degree weather, and I would run me 5 miles every day. And the hotter it was, the more I wanted to run to. And that was a fun thing for us. You know, on Friday night, running 10, 12 miles. It's running. So, yeah, I use those expressions. I use that. I won't take it back. Get some get up about yourself. I won't take that back. Hallelujah. He says, well, the Cretans, they are liars, they are evil, and they are lazy. They're just slow bellies. You Cretans. He said, this witness is true. This is what Charles said. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We don't want sharp rebuke. We don't want them to be sharp with us. Well, why are you talking? Why are you saying that? Because you need to be rebuked sharply. He said, not giving heed to the law of them of Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. That's what it does. Your black fables, your white fables, your racial fables, they turn you away from truth. Get quiet, good. You got some trash in your hearts. He said, I want to tell you something, Titus. Unto the pure, all things are pure. He said, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Nothing at all is pure. They don't see nothing pure. They don't see the strength of brothers and sisters. They don't see the strength of a man of Yahweh. Nothing is pure. They think everyone is corrupt because they are corrupt. Everyone will do what they do. The way you trust me is the way you trust yourself. That's it. That's how you trust. You trust the brothers bring you the money. I don't care whether they bring it or not. It really doesn't make any difference. But I trust the brothers at that. And if I didn't, I would say something to Deacon Benny or Elder Martin. And I've never said to any of these brothers, I've never trusted Brother Dale bringing his offering. Never trusted the Brother Nishman, Brother James and the brother. I've never said that. Because it doesn't make any difference. When I send brothers out with money to get things, 99.9% of the time, I say, just hold on to it. And of course, you can amass quite a little bit that way. Just holding on to it. Just keep it. That's all right. Hold on to it. Just hold on to it. Unless it's a 100 spot now. And they're going out with a 20, they're going to spend $7, $8. Just hold on to it. They're going to spend $5. Just keep it. Just hold on to it. I always do that. Here's the receipt. I don't care about the receipt, brother. I don't care. Unless it's a check I need to write down. As far as the receipt, I've never looked at the receipts. Never. The whole time we've been out, I've never looked at receipts. Never, never, never. I don't care. Because I trust myself or what you always put in me to do right with by the brothers, to do right by the offerings. That's what I do. So I don't never do that. I've never done that. He gave me the wrong receipt. I said, for what, brother? Okay, what is it, 20? Okay, here's the money. I don't need the receipt. I don't care about that. I don't care about those things, saints. And if I thought Lee Smith was holding back, at least I would tell Deacon Benny or Elder Martin. If I thought Brother James and the brothers were picking off the top, I don't care. I would talk to those brothers. Sure, I would. I've never had that in my spirit to believe that. Never. Even the ones that left, never. It made no difference. I've never had that in my spirit. Never, 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 never. I would allow that in my heart. I wouldn't want to accuse the brothers that way. I want to accuse the saints. I'm just like Shaul. I hear things about you wicked folks here. And the witness is true. I say, yeah, I believe she would do that. I believe he did it, yeah. It was your own heart. It's not mine. If I have the heart of Messiah, I have the mind of Messiah. So I don't distrust the brothers. I don't. I don't want to set brothers against brothers. That's wrong for me to do that. I see weakness in a brother. I say, boy, I sure would like to see him come up. Sure would be nice. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm not concerned about making friends. I really don't care. I said to Deacon Biddy that I said, if I go down to the prison, I said, I was going to take some of the brothers. To be quiet and just be quiet. That's what you need to do. Just be quiet. Shut up. Get your conscience pure and your mind pure. Cause havoc in hell by running your mouth. Cause havoc in homes. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm just a servant of Yahweh. That's what I am. And I won't give my strength to all you sisters. All of you together, I won't do that. You won't take that. You need to just learn how to be quiet and quit talking so much. When you say something, you ought to say it the way it's said. That's the way you ought to say it. Not the way you perceive it to be. The way it's said. That's the spirit of a liar. The creature's a liar. They're slow bellies. They're lazy. We're too lazy to study, but we're not lazy to gossip and lie and speak. That's the truth. You need to be quiet. Learn that. That's the beauty of a sister. Quietness. That's the beauty of the virtue woman. That men talked about her. She's quiet. She doesn't run her mouth. She keeps herself unspotted from the world. That's how she does things. She watches herself. And just be quiet. I don't care if you don't love me. I don't care if you don't like me. It doesn't make any difference. And that's the truth. He says, unto the pure, verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, it's nothing pure. Why? Because their conscience is defiled. You got a defiled conscience. You don't know what's pure and right. You don't know what's holy and unholy. Because your conscience is defiled. Look what this, now this is what they all say. I know the Lord. He said they profess that they know Yahweh, but in their work they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. They're disobedient. They're abominable. And unto every good work they are literally reprobate. Or reprobate. They have no conscience of pure works. They have no conscience of the righteous laws of Yahweh. They don't even have that. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Because their conscience is defiled. And once their conscience is defiled, the searing comes. You're going to defile conscience. You're going to become seared in your conscience, your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas. That's why this generation, is this what we call a quote, the assembly of the people of God? The conscience are seared. It's a corrupt, defiled conscience. You can't see the sin. And the Spirit of Yahweh comes to make sure that it reveals every sin in your heart. It doesn't hide one thing. You may hide, but you can't get by. And we want somebody to speak to our fleshly, their fleshly desire. I'll be glad when all the money stops. I will be glad when all of it stops. I am. What are you going to do? I'm going to be at peace. If you believe me that, I won't have no worries. You have the electricity. We can go out there with a hole and dig in the garden. And I can carry water. Don't have to grow that much. Little beans. What about meat? I don't have to worry about that. If you don't have no meat at all, I'll be all right. Go out there and jump in that pond. Well, I'll catch something. But ain't nothing but that big. Don't need that many. Sure. Maybe I want it all stopped. No electricity, no nothing. You won't go unless you walk. And some of y'all don't like to walk. How far are you going to be able to go with it? Huh? You get it all stopped. I'll be glad when Sister Angie's money stopped. I'll be glad with Tracy's, all of it. I'll be glad. All of it. Sister, you're all of it. I'll be glad. What James and I will make it, I'll be glad. Brother Lee Smith, all. Brother Dale, nothing. Sister Horns, I'll be glad. I will. I told y'all when he take it away. He took it all away, too. And I'll be glad when it stops. Sometimes the bills are crushing. Jesus, see how folks want to respond with the money. They respond because they love it. They love it. Their conscience are messed up. They're twisted. That ain't the money thing. I'll be so glad. I will. Because when it goes for you, it's going for everybody. It is. And it's going soon, too, whether you believe that or not. It's going. It's going. You're going to take the mark or you're going to die one. You're going to die in the faith and you're going to believe your way. And it's all gone. And I'll be so glad. That lets me know it's closer to that hour. Closer to that hour. And if I did with money, some of the things you all did with money, then you'll raise hell at me. You would. What do I have? What do I use the money for? I use every dime, 99.9% of it, for this place. We bought that building there in Charlotte. I paid off all those bills. I didn't take the monies, and Yahweh is my witness. When I used credit cards to buy things for that tabernacle, I paid off every last one of them with the monies. Yahweh, I paid off every last one. I didn't take the money from the tabernacle. I paid them off. Because I was sending thousands of dollars to Walterboro. I look at the checking account. We got $5,000 in a month. I sent $4,000. We got $8,000. I sent $6,000. That's what I was doing, brother. I could have drove a Cadillac. I could have drove a Mercedes Benz. I could have bought a piece of land for $100,000. Sure I could. But I knew, I said, if it's going to be done, and this hour is going to be a faith work. And I can't depend on no money. I got to make sure there's nothing there to depend on. And it had nothing to depend on. We didn't have the money when we got this piece of land, when you all walked this land with me. We didn't have that much money to get it. As a matter of fact, I told the man, I'll bring you $3,000. Because we had just enough to pay for the bills. As we walked that hill that day, Brother James and old Sam Clark, he even told Brother James, I like this preacher. If I could, I'd really just give him the land. We walked that hill that day, he said, no, you give him $7,000. Well, that took all the money we had. Gave him $7,000. The next week, I gave him $3,000. And I went to Walterboro to build that shower house. And I said, you folks, you give or you don't give, it makes no difference. I could have got the money from Prophet Stan, but I didn't want one dime. And a nickel from him. Yahweh wouldn't let me do it. I see why now. I said, no. He said, I'll buy the land. No. I said, no. No. Then he said, put it in the overcoming. I said, no, I can't do that. No, what a state we would have. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, the saints are paid for it. I said, I can't do that. Put it in overcoming. I said, no, I can't do that. Nah. And then they served. When I came back, that was $15,000, $16,000 offering. Then the next week, there was another $16,000. Some of y'all didn't have nothing to give. Some didn't give a nickel, yet you reap the benefit. Just ask you to be faithful in your endeavor. That's all we've asked. To be faithful in your work unto the Father. That's all I've required and ask of you. Keep yourself unspotted from the world, from this wickedness of the world. So I'll be glad when the money's gone. I'll be glad. I take my that money, dude. You can take it. You can take it and go, any of you. Care who it is. Because they're showing the money. And we sure not going to stop because you take that little change in your little bit. I don't care who it is. I told Brother Jermaine, I don't care if it's him. He looked at me funny when I said, you can take it and go. It makes no difference. Ain't nothing going to stop, boy. Nothing. One thing. One thing. And that's the truth. The scripture tells us give no place for the enemy. We don't give no place to the devil. You all give place to the devil. And you give him place in your mind. I won't do that. I thank you always. Yeah, I bless the brothers that you give me opportunity to study. I didn't have another preacher this morning. I don't even call this preaching. I said, Elder Martin says, Deacon Martin, I don't have nothing. I don't know what I'm going to preach. Really, I was hoping he said something to give me a word. I said, man, that'll be, I had nothing to say. Because I didn't feel like preaching. I don't feel like it. I really don't. And that's the truth. Sometimes I'd rather just lay on down and go on. I ain't going to tell you no lie on that one. I do, son. The way you felt that day, I feel like that. I'd rather just go on, brother. But then I think about something here that, shall we keep around just a little longer because it's kind of good. But I do. Just take me on, Father. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking to go back. I'm looking to go on. I'm not looking to feel young. Look young? Nah. I'm not looking for that. I don't want to be no sex symbol or nothing like that. I just want to go on, brother. That's all. I don't want to be fine so every woman look at me, that's a stupid man, but he sure is good looking. No, I'm not. That's the truth. I'm not that vain, and I know that. I said to my wife, I said, come on, look at that. Look at my eyes. Boy, things turning, changing. I just think next year they'll change even more. They will. Deacon Bennett said, Pastor Robert, you sure get some gray hair. I said, I am. Well, hallelujah. So it makes no difference. I will deal with your sins. I don't care if you get upset. You can get upset that you jump up down, scratch your head, and flip over on your bellies. It makes no difference at all. You don't have to be my friend. You don't even have to embrace me. That's all right. I'm going to be all right. You understand? You say, well, I'm going to be all right, but that's fine then. You'll be all right. I will be all right, as long as I stand in this truth. And I won't waver for any man. I won't change a thing. I won't waver. And I won't show no partiality. I said, Brother Allen, we do a lot of talking, Brother Lee, because I'm around him a lot. We do a lot of talking. I said, Brother, I would never want it to be a spirit on this ground. Whereby there's a preference, whether it's white or black, or the whites feel slighted, or the black. I would never want that. He said, Pastor Robert, that's not here. I would never want to be a part of a spirit like that. I'm a wicked man. Anything, I will make sure that he feels more comfortable than him. I would do that. I learned that from old Apostle Rogers. I did. It was right what he told me. I don't want Brother Sean, his wife, because they're scared. It's what? Oh, flesh is as grass. Sean stinks. Have you ever smelt him? Huh? You sure? Have you ever smelt me? Okay, then. You don't take baths, then. I hate taking baths. Do you take them? You take baths, brother? You sure? I do, too, then. You brush your teeth? Oh, I do, too. Have you ever had one feel before? Man, I have, too. You don't have ingrown toenails, do you? I do, then. He got ingrown toenails. Who got? Yeah, see that. It's all flesh is the same. Ain't worth a nickel, worth a dog's bush without Messiah. It has no value at all. No one's ever. Yahweh wants us to see the power of Messiah in one another. That's it. That's all he wants, to see that. I don't see no white man. I look at my brother, Allah, I just see my brother. I see a very radiant, beautiful brother that I truly love, sister. I don't ever tell Brother Allen that. I may fuss at him. Brother Allen, you didn't pay attention to that, you know that? He'll drop his head, yeah. But I truly love him as my brother and as my friend. That's what he is to me. And he's been a friend. Sure. He let his wife walk off from him. And he stayed the course with him. That's a brother. That's a friend. Sure is. Sure is. And I want to love him as much as he loved me. I want to stand my brother out the same way he said. I would never let him. I would never do anything to jeopardize my friendship with him. I would never. I would never do that. Never. I'd rather have his friendship than Dr. Farge or James or Wesley or Jules or France. I'd rather have Brother Allen's friendship. I'd rather sleep in the woods with Allen somewhere than to be in their warm homes. I would take him to the woods and take care of him. Sure will. If he gets sick, I would take care of him and look after my brother. I will. Sure will. That's what brotherhood is. Extend beyond anything. That's what the love of brothers is. It extends beyond that. All those things. All of our mishaps, I don't even see them. I don't even remember nothing that we've had transgressed between us. They don't mean nothing to me. They don't mean a thing. They don't have no value at all. They don't want you ever. Our conversation is not confrontational. It's one of brotherhood. One of conveying messages and information one to another. That's what it's about. I don't care about nothing else. Nothing else. That doesn't bother me. I don't care about those things. And we need to get that kind of spirit, that kind of mind. All of us. I'm talking to you black ones, you white ones as well. You need to get that kind of spirit. That's the truth. The world won't talk about it because they want to sweep things under the rug. I would talk about it. I don't care. Okay, who it offends? Okay, who it touches? Something wrong in your spirit. Y'all care about all babies, whether they're black babies or white babies. They're the same to me, brother. I do. I don't pick up brother's little baby no more. I pick up yours. Not at all. I don't pick up dolphins no more than I do yours. No more than I do the rest of them, brother. I do things right. Because I know how puny-minded folks are. I know how that, brother. He will never go like it, brother. Whether we have one nickel. I went down. There ain't no black baby, no white baby, just babies, brother. That boy will never know anything about that unless you all teach him. Unless you folks teach him. Yahweh bless you. I have more to preach, but that's all right.